We welcome you to our service tonight. We trust the Lord will bless our coming together in His name this evening. I just make one or two announcements at the commencement of the service. Could I ask in relation to the baskets at the doors that you remember them just as you leave for your offerings as the Lord has prospered you. And then on Tuesday evening we do have our Bible study and prayer meeting in the church hall, and we encourage you to attend the Bible study and prayer meeting on Tuesday evening at 8 o'clock. Next Lord's Day is our Harvest Sunday. It is also our special gift day. We've been making good inroads in our building fund, and I'm asking please for special collection. This is our gift day, and we trust that you will make a special effort in your giving. I'd like to see this debt removed. I suppose it would be very good to see it removed in my last year as your minister. I would feel very happy about that, but let's move further in relation to it, and I trust that you will give as you do generously next Lord's Day for the harvest collections. Sunday school at 10 and 11:30 our harvest service. Reverend Joshua Moffat from Bangor will be here to preach the word of God. Our brother David Warwick will be back with us to minister in song, great gospel singer, and he will be here as a minister in song. And the evening service, Reverend Ryan McKee from Macrofelt will be the preacher, and Reverend Mrs. McKee will be along to sing the season of prayer before the evening service, 6:20 to 6:45. With present restrictions, we're not asking people to come with flowers, fruit and vegetables. There's a small decoration in the church again this year, but do please remember that, and hopefully we can get back to normal soon, but that's the way it is at the moment. You'll understand that. Last Lord's Day morning, we had a missionary offering for Andrew McMullen of £707, and then the Sunday school gave him a gift of £250, so he sent on an appreciation of that, and we thank those who gave to that, the children and the teachers and you who gave to the offering at the church service. And then the evening time, our sister Christina Logan, £712. So there's well over £1,400 there given to missionaries in those offerings, plus what was given through the Sunday school. And we thank you for your giving to the Lord's work. Remember those who are going through treatment. Mary goes through her third treatment on Wednesday. Do pray for her. She's been coping well so far. I continue to pray for the healing touch of God upon her. Remember also our sister Irene as she waits for the surgery. Do pray for her, for others who are waiting treatment, and pray for them as well. And do remember them at the throne of grace. Remember Reverend Barnes in your prayers. He hasn't been well this week. Do keep him in prayer, please. And also other ministers who have been laid aside. We're thankful Reverend Smith is out of hospital, doing well, and Reverend Goods is improving, having got out of hospital as well. Do pray for these folk that the Lord's touch will be upon them, that they will know healing and restoration. Then Bill Houston, mentioned this morning, Bill's in hospital. Do remember him, that the Lord will touch him. I was able to contact him on phone this afternoon, speak to him and pray with him on the phone in the hospital. But do pray for Bill and his wife too, that the Lord's hand will be upon him and upon his wife, who, remember, had a bad accident some weeks ago or a few months ago now. And then we're looking to commence our parent and toddlers, and we have a sort of a tentative date in mind of the 18th, and we're going to launch out, God willing, with obviously mitigations and all that we have in place. So that's the plan. And then again, we're thinking of the 1st of November to start our Awana. So those are tentative dates that can change, of course, as you know, present circumstances. But we want to try and get back. And I know other aspects of the work are looking at what they can do and how they can get started back as well. So remember these aspects, please, of the work that we will be able to get going again, and pray. And if you can volunteer, appreciate those who have already volunteered. We're always looking for helpers and labourers. If you can help in any of these works, then do please contact the leaders of them, or myself, or any of the elders, and we'd be glad to hear from you. I think those are all the announcements tonight. We're going to begin keeping our seats as we sing, Who Are These Beside This Chilly Wave, just on the borders of the silent grave, shouting Jesus, a power to save, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And we'll keep our seats, and then if you're able to stand, please don't feel compelled to stand. There's some people who feel a bit uneasy about standing for the prayer. You just sit if you're comfortable sitting, but if you can stand, it's just to change your position for prayer after the hymn. Thank you. Say, if you're able to stand, we'll stand for prayer. Just as we pray tonight, we want to remember also Rachel Thompson. She's the daughter of Reverend David Linden, a dear colleague in the ministry. Rachel has a serious lung condition. She's two young children, a husband and two young children, primary school age children. And she's been in hospital. She's constantly on oxygen. And there's something, a problem with her lung. There's a hole in her lung, really. But miraculously, in the past week, this hole has begun to close. and the Lord has intervened, but she's still very ill. She's home now, but on oxygen continually. But do pray for Rachel. And even as we pray for her tonight, you can remember her in your own prayers and pray for the Lord's healing upon this young woman. I know the family over many years, many of you know them as well. But do pray, especially for Rachel Thompson, that God will touch her and heal her and help her husband and her family, little ones, at this time. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come to thee tonight and we thank thee that we can bring all our burdens to the Lord. And Lord, it is a burden on our heart tonight for Rachel. And we pray for Rachel that thou wilt touch her. We thank thee that thou art the great physician. And we pray that thou who hast intervened in the past week to cause this hole in her lung to close over, will close it completely. And we pray, Lord, that there will be healing in regard to her breathing and the function of the lungs and this problem that doctors don't seem to be able to get to the bottom of. We pray that thou will give them wisdom, give them skill, but most of all, thou art the great physician, and that thou wilt step in and heal Rachel. If it is your will, thou art Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Remember her husband and her children. And remember Everett Lyndon, the whole family at this time. Comfort and give grace to them. Those in her own congregation and connected to it who have illness. And we have mentioned them tonight. We lift them collectively to thee. And we pray, O God, that thou would remember each one of them. And we pray, Father, that thou wouldst touch Mary. And that thou wilt touch Ari. And, O God, that thou wilt remember Catherine, Nessie's daughter, too. And we pray for others, O God, that are going through treatments or about to, or going through consultations or about to have appointments about their health. Lord, touch them. Lord, heal them. Lord, restore them, if it is your will tonight. We praise thee for your hand, even in Norman Boyle, and for your answer to prayer to get him home from hospital. And we pray for healing. Remember Bill tonight. We pray for healing. And we pray, O God, that thou wilt remember him and his wife and draw near with thy grace in salvation. Lord, we thank thee that thou art the answer to every need. And we pray that thou wilt meet our needs tonight as we have gathered in your house to worship thee. Thank you for those who have come tonight. And we do pray that thy presence will be felt here in this church tonight. Remember thy servant who will in a moment come and sing, Lord, that thou wilt fill her with the Holy Spirit, that thou wilt use her tonight, that she might be the Lord's messenger in song. And as we take up thy word later in the service, that we might be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And grant that tonight we might preach as a dying man to dying sinners. We pray for this land that's stricken by sin, Sabbath desecration even this very day, continuing in our land. In our very city where people even find it almost impossible to get to the house of God because of the marathon that was going on in the streets. No thought of liberty for Christians to worship the Lord. And we pray, O God, that thou wilt have mercy on our land and upon the darkness that enshrouds us. And we pray for light. And we pray that thou wilt help us to be salt and light in this society. And bless this church on this road. Make it a light, a mighty light that will shine for God in these days. Answer prayer, Lord, tonight we pray. Save some soul through this service. Bless those who cannot be here and would love to be. But because of circumstances, this virus and their concerns about it and their illness or infirmity of body, meet their needs tonight, we pray. Remember our sister Eileen, Lord, touch Eileen. And grant that Eileen, too, will know restoration. Remember Eileen McDowell's sister as well, Phyllis, at this awful fall over at her home. We pray that thou wilt remember Phyllis and remember Bill. And we pray for Phyllis's healing and restoration at this time, too. Remember the needs of our churches. Thank you for the new college that's going to be built. We thank you for that approval at our presbytery on Friday night. And this college is going to be built at Tandragee for the training of young men and women for service at home and abroad. Bless, Lord, every brick that goes into that building. Lord, may it be to the glory of thy name. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. And Natasha is going to minister her first piece to us now. Thank you. Natasha, and do remember Natasha's brother Samuel, and some of you know Samuel and Gemma, they lost their home through a fire. It happened just Thursday week ago. We're grateful to the Lord for preserving their lives, and we trust that you'll remember them in prayer, that the Lord will put that house together again. You can put a house together again. You can't put lives together through terrible fire. So remember that family in your prayers at this time too. Thank you, Natasha, for that ministry in song. We're going to read together from the Word of God tonight. I'm reading from Revelation chapter 22. The book of Revelation chapter 22. And we're reading about heaven again. We've been on this theme for several weeks, and we're going to think about it again tonight. Revelation chapter 22. And beginning to read at the opening verse. We're going to read the first 11 verses of this chapter. Let us hear the word of God tonight. And he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was of the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. We'll turn to another hymn. Again, we're thinking about heaven in this hymn. I'm thinking today of that beautiful land I shall reach when the sun goeth down. When through wonderful grace by my Saviour I stand. Will there be any stars in my crown? We'll keep our seats as we sing, and then after the singing of this, Natasha will bring her final message to us.
Thank you.
Rejoicing in the Lord, and what our sister was singing there, those words, beautiful as they were. Let's stand for a moment of prayer if you can, please. Our gracious God and loving Father, we turn now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power, thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail, we ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. In the closing moments of our service tonight, I want to turn your attention to the first verses here of Revelation chapter 22, especially verses 1 to 5. And the subject tonight, as we continue, the theme of heaven is the glory of heaven. The glory of heaven. Centuries ago, ancient mariners sailed the Mediterranean Sea, hugging the familiar coastline and following the chartered shores, never letting land out of sight. As they sailed westward, they were eventually confronted with a very difficult decision. That dilemma was the Straits of Gibraltar. The Pillars of Hercules, the famous passage leading out into the vast Atlantic. On one side of those towering boulders was the Mediterranean Sea, which was chartered territory, known worlds, discovered lands. But beyond lay the Atlantic Ocean, the unknown, the unexplored, the undiscovered, and the seemingly unending. It was one thing for those sailors to navigate the Mediterranean Sea with land in full view, but it was entirely something else to venture through the Straits of Gibraltar into the great Atlantic and sail into the endless horizon with no land in sight. As the frail ships pass through the straits, the massive pillars of Hercules, the ancient mariners would say, ne plus ultra, which means there is nothing beyond. With this passage, the mariners were leaving the known world of the coastline of the Mediterranean, sailing into the vast undiscovered world of the open sea. That's what the Apostle John is saying to us here, in a sense. Ne plus ultra. There is nothing beyond this description of the New Jerusalem, but worlds unknown. And with these last verses of the book of the Revelation, we are sailing out, as it were, into the unknown world of eternity, with no end in sight. We leave, as it were, the shoreline of time, and we launch out into eternity future, with all its vastness and with all its immensity. What a glorious place heaven is. Everything now is made perfect. Heaven is a perfect place, my friends, created by a perfect God, indwelt by a perfect people, offering perfect worship to the Lord forever. Heaven is the most perfect place that you will ever experience. And I want to speak in the closing moments of the service on the glory of heaven as it is revealed to us here in these wonderful words of the first five verses of Revelation chapter 22. First of all, in verses 1 and 2, we have the river in heaven. The Bible tells us here, he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was of the tree of life. In Revelation 21 and 6, we read there, and he said, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. From this stream, which flows through heaven, we will be fully satisfied, fulfilled, and blessed. Here in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 22, we have a crystal clear stream gushing out of God's throne. And remember, there is only one throne. It is occupied by both God and Christ. And flowing down the middle of the street of gold, the central thoroughfare of heaven, where everyone there travels along. Here, my friends, is a literal river through a literal city occupied by a literal people in a literal place called heaven. And when the heavenly citizens drink from this life-giving stream, it brings exhilarating ecstasy. The psalmist speaks of it in Psalm 46 and verse 4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. This river of life is accessible to all. Such joy was available at the dawn of human history in Eden's garden. There was a beautiful river that flowed in that garden. According to Genesis chapter 2, verses 6 and 10, it divided into four streams, providing enrichment to all who drank. But the entrance of sin into this world soon dammed up the flow of this river. But in heaven, the river of life will flow again,
bringing God's eternal blessing to His people. This heaven shimmers as it reflects the glory of God. This is no muddy stream, my friend, polluted and contaminated by man's environmental abuses. It is crystal clear. It is perfectly clean because it flows out of God's throne. The source of this stream, you see, is supernatural, flowing from God and His Son to all of heaven's citizens. What a beautiful river this is. Though a literal river, it's not without its symbolic meaning. Here is a real river representing the inexhaustible grace of God forever flowing into our lives in heaven. Here is the fullness of God's goodness, unlimited blessings, His unfathomable provisions pouring into our lives, flooding our hearts forevermore. You know, my friends, in ancient Palestine, a river was always a welcome place of comfort, a place of rest, a place of refreshment and sustenance. It meant cool water to dry mouths that were parched by the arid desert. Imagine the joy of the weary traveler in the hot wilderness who came upon a crystal clear, cool river. And that will be our constant delight in heaven. After years of weary traveling in the wilderness of this world, our tired bodies, our burdened souls will be refreshed to the fullest in heaven itself. The Lord God Himself will lead us to this river to drink. Revelation 7 verse 17 says, "The Lamb shall lead them unto living fountains of water." And we will drink as much as we want, for as long as we want. And our bodies will find strength. Our souls will find satisfaction. Our spirits will find fulfillment forever in this river. Is the quenching of our heart's desire, the slaking of all our thirst, the river in heaven. What a beautiful picture that is. But then I want you to think, secondly, tonight from verse 2, Revelation 22, of the renewal in heaven. It speaks here of the tree of life. Now, it's designated here in singular form, but it's probably a collective word, meaning many trees of life. You will see how that in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was the tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. How could there be one tree on both sides of the river? Here I suggest to you are numerous trees. An active forest, perhaps outlining the banks of the river of life. And these trees yield an abundant supply of fruit of all different kinds, 12 in all, the Bible tells us. In heaven, growing seasons for fruit will be a thing of the past, not like the old creation. Here will be a continuous bumper harvest, always yielding its produce. And when this fruit is eaten, it will produce healing. You'll notice the word that's used there, and it means health-giving. It perpetuates the vitality of the city's citizens. It renews their physical and spiritual stamina. Of course, when it speaks of healing here, it does not mean there will be illness in heaven. For there will be no disease in heaven, because there will be no sin in heaven. Rather, it means the tree of life will produce all sorts of blessedness, all sorts of vitality, all sorts of fulfillment and satisfaction, strength and renewal and well-being. Remembering back to the Garden of Eden, the tree of life, it represented perpetual physical life. And man sinned. He was driven away from the tree of life. The Bible tells us that in Genesis chapter 3. And death entered into the human race. Sickness and sorrow and weakness resulted. But now in heaven, access to the tree of life is restored. Isn't that wonderful? Man who is truly saved, women who are truly saved, young people who are truly saved, who enter into heaven, will enjoy this blessedness of the tree of life forever and forever. We will be in God's presence forever. This is the promise to all believers. Chapter 2 of Revelation, verse 7, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God, in the midst of heaven. And the multifaceted blessing of God will be ours in the garden of heaven when we eat and enjoy the fruit of the tree of life. Will we literally eat and drink in heaven? Yes, absolutely. Jesus said in Luke 22:18, "For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." In heaven, you see, the Bible tells us in another place in the book of the Revelation that we will sit down and participate with the marriage supper of the Lamb. A supper implies that we will have a feast together. We will sit down together with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Let me ask you tonight, are you going to heaven? If you're not saved tonight, you're not going to heaven. But thank God you can get saved tonight and start for heaven and be assured of heaven even this very night. The story is told of a Philadelphia law firm. They sent flowers to an associate in Baltimore upon the opening of their new offices. And through some mix-up, the ribbon that bedecked the floral piece read, "Deepest sympathy." When the florist was informed, he was astounded, of course, at the mistake, and he exclaimed, "Then the flowers that went to the funeral said, 'Congratulations on your new location.'" Heaven is a wonderful new location for believers. Are you looking up, Christian? Every day, as I get those days older, I'm looking up. I'm looking up to glory. I'm looking up to heaven to be with my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would we want to stay in this world? With all its sorrows and pains and woes. Oh yes, of course, we have loved ones here and friends here and those ties with earth. But ultimately, we want to be with Christ. It's far better, said Paul. It's gain for the Christian. Then I want you to see, thirdly, here, the release in heaven. Free from the contamination of any sin. Verse 3 of Revelation 22, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." At long last, God's curse upon creation will be removed. The curse that was pronounced upon all mankind because of Adam's sin. We read of it in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. And this earth and this world tonight bears the ugly scars of sin. Cursed earth produces thorns and thistles. Work will be accompanied by pain and weariness. Life on this earth will end with death. But in heaven, the curse is removed. Heaven will be free from all the effects of sin. No more contending with Satan. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more death. No more separation. All these no mores that are mentioned in these chapters 21 and 22 of Revelation will be realized. How wonderful. No more hostility, no more disease and illness, only peace and health and comfort and pleasure forevermore. Are you going to heaven tonight? Are you going to this beautiful city? beautiful city of God. The glorious prospect that awaits every child of God. Those who are in Christ is heaven. What a release. We will finally come out from under the staggering effects of Adam's original sin. The effects of the fall. We will be completely immersed in the powerful effect of Christ's obedience on the cross in heaven. How wonderful. The release in heaven. But my friend, the Bible speaks of the rule in heaven. Verse 3, the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. It's the government of God. People are worried about government in this world. They're talking about government and they spend their times talking about government, and the column inches of our newspapers and our internet is filled with all of this about governments in this world. But here's the government of God. In heaven, the throne of God, the Father and of Christ will be in the midst of it, signifying the completeness and universality of God's reign. God's throne is that seat of unrivaled universal sovereignty. It is the headquarters of all creation. The Father and the Son will reign without any competition. No elections there, friend. No elections there. No party conferences there, friend. No calling for votes there. No more will Satan and demons and evil men and tyrants and dictators or self-serving men and women dominate the nations. The Father and the Son, God the Father and God the Son alone will rule. That's what the Bible says. This kingdom will be forever. The Bible says in Psalm 29 and verse 10, the Lord sitteth King forever. Luke 1:23, the angel Gabriel announced, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. God's reign will be unending, unhindered, unrivaled. The rule of God, my friend. What a rule. What a rule. Are you going to heaven tonight? And then I want you to think of our response in heaven. The Bible says in verse 3, and his servants shall serve him. We will have limitless opportunities to serve God in heaven. In eternity, we will have meaningful ministry assignments to perform. And the tense that's used here is the future tense. So the thought is, shall keep on serving him forever and ever. You know, some people think, when I get to heaven, I'll not be serving anymore. I'll be sitting, as Dr. Paisley used to say, in my celestial sofa for all eternity. Not so, my friend. We will be serving the Lord forever and ever. Serve refers to the priestly service offered to God. Early in Revelation, John wrote that God hath made us, chapter 1, verse 6, to be a kingdom of priests. And what do priests do? But they serve God. And God has built in our human nature a creative drive to accomplish something meaningful and productive. Of course, there are those I know who don't go down that line, who are lazy and have never through their lives produced anything. But God has given within each person that God-given creative drive. And that will be no less part of us as glorified saints in heaven. In fact, this holy ambition will be intensified and elevated to new heights. There we will serve God with a pure heart. In eternity, we will fully know the joy of accomplishing something great for God. We will know, dear friends, tonight the thrill of performing God-given tasks perfectly. You see, we will have glorified bodies. We will have sinless hearts. We will have perfect skills with which to serve. We will never grow tired. We will never mess up on our assigned responsibilities. In heaven, we will be busier than ever. We will be engaged in ceaseless activity, since there will be no night there. Actually, the more we serve God in heaven, the more refreshed we will be. Like those disciples who had more fish and bread left over after the feeding of the 5,000, the Lord will multiply our efforts. We will serve Him continuously and yet never become exhausted. And maybe you've come to this service tonight and you think, I'm exhausted. I wish He would stop and let me get home to my bed. I'm so exhausted. But we'll never be exhausted in heaven. We will feel only replenished and invigorated. And then, sixthly, I want you to notice the recognition in heaven. They shall see His face. How wonderful this is. We will see the face of the Lord. Heaven will be a place where we will see the greatest of all sights, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. I gave the illustration a few weeks ago about the young man who had never saw. And then he had this operation and they took off the bandages off his eyes at his wedding. And he saw the face of his bride. And the tears streamed down his face as he saw for the first time and he saw his bride. But my friend, what will it be when we see the face of Christ? Oh, what will it be then when we gaze into His beautiful face? Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. It's the ultimate blessedness for all who are saved. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. But my friend, then we will see Him. We will see Him. God is now invisible to all mortals. Exodus 33:20 says, Thou shalt canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. 1 Timothy 6:16, who only hath immortality dwelling in light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see. 1 John 4:12, no man has seen God at any time, but in heaven, friend, we will see Him. In heaven we will see Him. We will see God. You remember Job? He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and though the worms destroy this flesh, my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. That's what Job said. You're going to see God. You're going to see His face after all He'd gone through. Psalm 17:15, as for me, I shall behold Thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I weep in Thy likeness. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:12, now we see through a glass darkly. That's now in this world, but then face to face. That's heaven. Then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Someone has written these words, seeing God implies a far greater comprehension of God. We will see God with the eye of the mind. We will have an instantaneous awareness and knowledge of the fullness of God, as much as human beings have capacity for. In other words, we will see God with glorified eyes. We cannot comprehend it tonight. We cannot understand. We are finite creatures. But then we will see Him. We shall be like Him. The Bible tells us. We shall see Him as He is. In the ancient times, criminals were banished from the presence of the king. Likewise, Oriental kings secluded themselves from their own loyal subjects. To have an audience with an ancient king was a rare privilege, even for the highest ranked citizens. But in heaven, we will have an audience with the King of kings and Lord of lords. We will see Him, dear friends, personally and intimately and directly, and we will see Him forever. We will never tire of seeing Him. We shall see Him as He is, 1 John 3:2. No aspect of His glory will be veiled. We will see the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, 1 Timothy 6:15. And once there, His name shall be on their foreheads, verse 4. We will be individually known to God and to one another. The citizens of the New Jerusalem will reflect and bear the glory of Christ. Maybe you wondered about that. Well, His name will be on our foreheads. We will see as we've never seen before. So why would we not know each other in heaven? Why would we not? J.C. Ryle wrote a great pamphlet on that. Well, we know each other in heaven. I commend it to you. The Word of God makes it clear, I believe. Two Texans. You can imagine two Texans together. Maybe you'd need to have a wee bit of linguistic skills there to understand what they're saying. Or maybe they would with us. But they were trying to impress each other with the size of their ranches. One asked the other, "What's the name of your ranch?" And the rancher replied with a lengthy name, including long names and numbers and so forth. Thought he was never going to end. The other Texan was impressed. He's saying, "That's some name. How many head of cattle do you have?" The rancher answered, "Not many. Very few survive the branding." Well, we will all survive the branding in Christ's name. His name will be on our foreheads. Meaning we will be like Him. We will be like Christ. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 verse 30, "Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He justified, them He also glorified." Glorified means that we bear the glory of Christ in heaven. And then the radiance in heaven. Look at verse 5 again quickly. "There shall be no night there. And they need no candle, and neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light." Revelation 21, verse 23, it reads like this: "And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." No need for lights, flashlights or street lights, no headlights, no overhead lights, no floodlights needed. Because He gives the light. He's the light. And then finally, the reigning in heaven, verse 5, "And they shall reign forever and ever." Who is the "they" who reign forever and ever? It is the joint reign between God, the Lamb, and His servants. We who are saved, we will reign with Christ. We will reign with Him and the Father. We will reign eternally with God and Christ, reigning under God, with God, and for God. In the beginning, at the dawn of creation, God's purpose was for man to rule. You see that? Genesis chapter 1. He's to rule over all the creatures. The Bible tells us that. What began in Genesis is now completed in Revelation. Genesis tells us how it all began. Revelation tells us how it all ends. All that lies between is the unfolding plan of redemption. And in that day, that wonderful day, when we enter into heaven, we will see the face of our Savior. What a sight will be the Lord Jesus Christ in all of His sovereign glory. And that day, heaven's throne room will be full of the redeemed saints of God. All have gone before. Are you looking forward to it, Christian? Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing those loved ones who have gone before. But most of all, I'm looking forward to see the Savior, to see His face. We will see Him, our blessed Lord Jesus, in all His glory. Ne plus ultra. There's nothing beyond. Will you be there, my friend? Will you be in heaven? You'll only be in heaven, friend, if you have a saving faith in Christ. You'll only be in heaven if you're saved by His sovereign grace. Oh, tonight will you come? You come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I implore you to come. To trust in Him. To make sure that when life ends for you in this earth, you're going to be in His presence, in the presence of the Savior, for all eternity. May God bless His word to our hearts tonight. We will sing the hymn, "We are bound for the land of the pure and the holy, the home of the happy, the kingdom of love. He wanders from God in the broad road of folly, who say, will you go to the Eden above?" Will you go? Will you go? Who say, will you go to the Eden above?
above. What a question, what a challenge that is to every unsaved person in our meeting or listening in tonight. We'll keep our seats as we sing this hymn together. Friend, to the Eden above. If you're not tonight, do please think on these things and come to Christ tonight. We can help you. We're here, your servant, for Jesus' sake. At the end of the service, do please speak with me outside there or come back in. We're happy to speak with you and show you from God's word how you can see it. Don't leave without being sure that you're ready for heaven tonight. Let us pray. Father in heaven, write thine own word upon the fleshy tables of every heart. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you all, now and forevermore. Amen. We welcome you to our service tonight. We trust the Lord will bless our coming together in His name this evening. I'll just make one or two announcements at the commencement of the service. Could I ask, in relation to the basket?